Hello, everybody from Messi & Co. Five Reasons Sports. We are here for another episode of Messi & Co. today on Thursday, and we're excited. We got a special episode for you today ahead of our game against New York Red Bulls on Saturday. We've got a special guest. So let's get right into it. And we've got, as always, Ashley Silvers here. And then we've we've got our special guest, Mr. Kayvon Antonio Heydari here, who we'll introduce to you in just a second. So again, special episode. Again, before we go into the preview for the game, we've got Kayvon Antonio Heydari, who has been covering sports. He's an accomplished sports and culture reporter. He's been covering sports for over 25 years. He's covered World Cups. He's covered some of the best athletes in soccer. He's covered Ronaldinho. He's covered Maradona. He's covered Messi. He's covered a lot of the greats in the sport that you guys know by name and have watched for many years. He's worked for NPR. He's worked for Univision, the Washington Post. He's a guy of many talents. He knows a lot of languages. So that's exciting. We don't know how many he'll speak on here, but
Stop here, because I'm going to have to write a bigger check.
But it's exciting. Yeah, he's very talented. He knows Spanish, Italian, French. He's worked for El Nuevo Herald, for Telemundo, Univision. I believe he mentioned to us before we got on here that he is Puerto Rican, Persian. So an interesting mix there that he'll probably talk to us about. It's really cool to have him on. And yeah, he's written a lot of books, and he's going to talk to us also about a book that's really exciting, covering the World Cup. So welcome, Kayvon. Oh, it's really nice to have you on here. And we're just excited to kind of talk to you a little bit today and learn a little bit more about you and learn about the book that you'll be revealing this Saturday.
Well, I'm really very keen to get to know your people, because I understand that you guys are doing things in a very interesting way, and you have a growing appeal. So I said, let's go.
Yeah, absolutely. We're really excited, and we're gonna, show it in a little bit, the book that we're talking about, that you have an event coming up that people will be able to buy online and learn more about. That's really, focusing on Messi and his road to eternal glory, as we know, winning the World Cup last year. And or was it Oh, it was over a year ago at this point. It feels like it was less than that. But yeah, in Qatar 2022. And this show obviously is called Messi & Co. We have people from around the world listening and watching who love Messi, who know about him, about his history, who love the greatest players that have ever played, like Gian said. And you have on your own some really incredible personal anecdotes that you're going to talk about.
Well, among greatest players, we forgot Pelé in there too.
Pelé too, exactly. Pelé, yeah. Ronaldinho, Messi, Maradona. And to start with, I think this is a really interesting starting point. This article that you wrote for the New York Times, and this is just to give like a little bit of context of how long you've been following that. Obviously, we said you've been following the sport for over 25 years, but Messi in particular, who is obviously the center of the attention for us, you wrote this article in 2009. And tell us a little bit about like what you saw from Messi at that point, what got you to this article, and what you've seen come true in his career thus far.
Well, it was the start of the social media era. And anytime you saw Messi with the ball at that time, it was like, all the alarms went off in the defense when he had the ball at his feet. Mm-hmm. And all the defenders, but nobody could stop him. And I called my editor at the New York Times, Jack Bell, and I said, hey, I want to do a feature on this kid. I think he's going to be big time, And it was the final, I think, between Man United and Barcelona. And so we framed it around there. But I had been watching Messi since his first matches at Barcelona. And actually, we put a camera on him in the 2006 World Cup. Even though he didn't play much, I think he debuted against Bosnia. And, I could see he was different. Like, during the penalties against Germany, he was looking in another direction. And just everything about him was different. And, of course, the Argentinians have a saying, we did this book about Argentina winning the World Cup, and you guys will show it. But, that Maradona es el argentino como es. Messi es el argentino que quisiéramos ser. which is Maradona is the actual Argentine. Messi is the Argentine we'd all like to be. He's a nice kid. He's a family guy. He never gets in trouble. You know, all he cares about is playing the game and maybe video games, you know? Yeah. And that's all he cares about. And so in that way, I think he's also a little bit neurodiverse, which helps because he can process things so quickly. The same way Maradona would take a picture of the field. He knew where every one of his teammates was. So, and of course, there's been an eternal comparison. Who's going to be the next Maradona, the next left footer? And of course, Messi, until winning that World Cup, he hadn't taken that extra step. Once Argentina and the way they did it, it was just, you know, Messi had to put the team on his shoulders, which was a responsibility that he hadn't carried so well. Because if you look at Argentina, the guy who scores a lot of the decisive goals was Di Maria.
Yeah.
Speaking of, which is very topical, we can just mention it really quickly. Reports came out this morning from ESPN that Angel Di Maria is currently speaking with Inter Miami about potentially joining the team in the summer and just turning this whole entire team in from Inter Miami to the Argentinian national team 2.0. And
or Messi's friends.
Messi and Co., which is why that's what the name of the show is. And so, you know, I know we are going to show a picture in a second that shows you with Maradona and with someone who means a lot to Argentinian culture and folklore. But like you just mentioned, you've seen Messi play with people from all different eras, and even Maradona was his coach for Argentina, right? So what, you know, maybe you can tell us a little bit about, first of all, explaining this picture in this moment and what you got to do with Maradona, and then maybe just letting people know, how do they compare? What are they like? What are they different? What have they done for Argentina that you've seen firsthand?
I think it's a fun exercise, but in the end, a futile exercise. Can we say Mozart is better than Beethoven? I don't think so. They're different.
I've never met either.
There's different things, and they're different people.
Yeah.
You know, Maradona was more of a leader. He was more of a vocal leader. There's silent leaders and there's vocal leaders. Maradona was the best player and the most powerful personality on the team. Messi's the best player, and only because of that, even if it was just that, people will look to him. You know, his teammates will look to him because of his talent level. But Messi's been growing in that sense, you know? He's been assuming the responsibilities of being the captain, of speaking up when it needs to be done. You didn't have to tell Diego to speak up. And Diego also felt la gente, as they say in Argentina. He felt the pain of the people, the desires of the people. And Diego had a memory for everything. Once somebody stopped him on the street, I tell this anecdote in one of the stories you guys have, somebody he didn't think he'd remember him, but Diego remembered every face, you know?
Yeah.
Messi's got a group of people to protect him from all this extraneous stimuli. And when we go to the field, I hear people screaming, Messi, Messi, screaming at him. I don't know what they want him to do. Just to look, to come over and wave. I don't understand it. People just want a connection. And at this time, I was in Buenos Aires doing a Boca training. And I said, hey, I came to interview you. And I started talking to him. I mean, I wasn't an obsequious journalist. I started speaking about him with some difficult subjects, which included his political opinions about Fidel Castro and others. And, you know, and he liked the challenge, you know. I worked on a documentary by the director, Asif Kapadia, where some of our footage was in there. And Diego signed a deal, and there was some hidden footage that hadn't been seen before. That's a beautiful documentary of the Napoli years. It's called Diego Maradona. I don't know what platform you guys can see, but you can look for it. Asif Kapadia is a London-based director, and he's won the Oscar for other documentaries that he's done.
Awesome.
But, you know, Maradona would do his own thing whenever he wanted to. You couldn't tell Maradona anything. He was the closest thing to a king in his court as I've ever seen, you know? Now, Messi also has layers that you can't get past, but Messi does it because the attention these days is just so out of control, you know?
Yeah, they're two complete different players. I know that in speaking with different generations and asking who is the best. Was it Maradona? Was it Messi? Every generation has their own greatest of all time. You can't compare two different ages of soccer. Soccer has evolved. Football has evolved. And,
I usually do not engage in that.
Yeah.
In that debate, because you can't get anywhere with it. It's like you're going to go in a whirlwind round and round and round, and we're going to kick around a few opinions, and you're going to keep your opinion, I'm going to keep mine. But the deal is this. You lived, like I was in the stadium the day Maradona scored both goals against England, and living the moment in time when you don't know how the movie's going to turn out, how that story's going to turn out, it marks you emotionally. So once you know the 70 World Cup finished a certain way, the 86 World Cup finished a certain way, 98, 2002, 2006, you don't have that surprise element, which is so important to cementing your emotions to a certain age. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%.
So you got to say, well, I had more emotions with Cristiano or with Messi or with Team X or Team Y, you know?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, you just give their due respect to both and just acknowledge them both as great players and the greatest to ever play along with other names. And you just leave it at that. There's some arguments you just can't win. but with that, I know that you also, you know, have interviewed some of the other greats in the sports, you know, for world soccer. You interviewed Ronaldinho as well. One of the early interviews that he had in his career that you did also in your career. And you, I think from the bat, you kind of knew what Ronaldinho, the potential that he had and what he could become early on in his career. And I'm just interested to kind of know, you know, what did you see early on in Ronaldinho's career? And now looking at Inter Miami and looking at the youngsters that Inter Miami has, they've got, you know, Diego Gomez, they've got Federico Redondo, an Argentinian player. They've got Cremaschi, another one. David Ruiz, they've got a lot of youngsters. You don't necessarily need to go into, you know, each one individually, but seeing that you've been able to look at players and see that they're going to be great, do you also see some greatness or opportunities for some of these young guys also in Inter Miami to kind of, you know, be some of the top players and move on to bigger leagues?
I think one of the things that these young guys that you mentioned get is that they see what they should aspire to. I love, for example, Iniesta and Busquets. Busquets's art is so unnoticeable sometimes. If you don't really know the game, he touches. It's really tough to get a picture of Busquets. He touches the ball one time almost all the time. He doesn't run that much. He doesn't, you know, he's never out of position, almost never. And so every position has its art, you know. Keeper's different, and Messi perhaps is the most spectacular, maybe not, but each player has to see the best at what they do. And for example, one of the things that they all have in common is ambition. They also have to have technique. Some of them, you may or may not need speed. Busquets is probably very slow. Nobody's going to time him, and he shouldn't let anybody time him at the 40. Because it's irrelevant, you know. We used to have a coach who used to kick a ball and he'd have everybody sprint and say, let's see who's the fastest. And, you know, people, you know, so-and-so would sprint and he'd be the first. And then he'd kick the ball and the ball would outrun everybody. So the ball is the game. The game circles around the ball. And it's all about the skill with the ball. Ronaldinho had incredible skill. But one thing you can't measure is ambition and heart. And that, in the United States, since many of the players come out of high school, a lot of them go to college, and a lot of them become very good citizens, but you don't have that burning hunger to make your career, make a name, and make money that will last you a couple of generations. You can also spend that money if you don't manage it properly. But that ambition that you have in Africa and South America, and then you have the polishing that you get in the big clubs like Sao Paulo, Boca Juniors, River, Independiente, and in Europe too. So that's why they're taking the young players to Europe, so that they get physically prepared and, you know, and technically you got to have them. You know, they used to say in Italy, you know, if I fenomeni si vedono giovani, meaning those guys who are really, really good with the ball, you see them early. Then you got to work on their physical aspects. But there's so many aspects to it and that are worth talking about. You know, I don't want to – that's just part of the bigger picture. I think we should be talking you know, I mean, we decided that Messi and Argentina was worth a book. Your generation probably consumes stuff via Instagram. And we took a lot of photos that would normally be posted on Instagram by the photographers. We put them together into a hardcover book. It's about Argentina winning the World Cup. The photos by Alejandro Pagni are spectacular. And Eduardo Vizcayart, you know, wrote it. And he also likes photography. I also take pictures. And there it is in English and in Spanish. I translated it to Spanish, I mean to English from Spanish. And I've done bilingual books in the past, in Europe mostly. I mean, I have a couple of them here, but we're going to present it. If anybody's in Miami, Tuesday, May 7th, at Books and Books in Coral Gables. You can go booksandbooks.com, and you can see. We want to see people there. We're going to give – if you can't afford the book, that's fine. We're going to give away photos. We're going to give away stuff. We're going to do a trivia contest afterwards, and people can be a part of that. It'll be like Jeopardy for sports trivia. I think you guys are supposed to have a team. Is that correct?
Yeah, so, we will be there, and we'll be, you know, showing our vast knowledge of soccer and sports.
Vast and improving, hopefully.
Vast and improving. Yeah,
always improving.
I was about to say I'm being sarcastic. It's not that vast. It's getting there every day. But yeah, we will be at the event, and you know, if people who are local to Miami, we hope you can come too. It's going to be really cool, and just you know, we obviously see Messi in a vacuum. We see Inter Miami in a vacuum. We watch it every week. You know, it can't believe it's not even been a full year that he's been here. It's been 10 months and it feels like 5 years. You know, it feels so much has happened in such a right. short period of time, but it's important, I think, to, you know, to look back and to see, you know, what the greatness has become and how he got to that point. And this book we're both getting, and we're really excited to read it because it is just going to be, you know, tell us more about the story. Tell us about what happened there.
Ashley, you bring something up. You know, Lennon said there are decades when it seems like nothing happens, and then a year seems like a decade happened.
Yeah.
You know, so we may be in that time, pandemic, wars, all that stuff. I'm going to show some of the books here I've written in the past. They're beautiful coffee table books, which is what we try to do. You know, a little bit of quality.
It just shows how much history you have in this sport and how much you've seen.
I'm sorry?
It just shows all the amazing things you've seen in soccer and you've seen in the history of the sport.
Well, you know, it's not just what you've seen. I think we can see a lot, but you're right. We're seeing things in a vacuum these days. Everybody's at home watching on a screen, but what does it feel like to be there? You know, that's what we got to try and capture when we do something different, you know? And I think if people can see there, they can send me a tweet or Instagram. I go on Instagram about once a month or once a year. And if you want, we'll be giving away photos, original signed photos and everything, because we want people to connect. We want to build a connection. That's because everything's so disconnected now. Eduardo will be there with me. And he and I used to travel together. We worked for an ESPN, like 30 type show that they did in Latin America. We also, Eduardo and I have, we met in a hotel in Seoul, Korea, while covering the 2002 World Cup. We sat next to each other, and it turned out that we knew people in common. And since then, we've worked on several projects together, you know? And he wrote this, and Alejandro Pagni, we got to give a shout out, because sometimes a crazy idea, it was Alejandro Pagni's crazy idea that became a reality, you know? But you need a team, the same way Messi needs a team. I don't know if Di Maria will come, but, you know, hey, Messi's contract ends. I don't know how they're going to work that out, but that's not our problem. We want to do an event next Tuesday. We want to invite anybody who wants to come to get in touch with you guys they can understand.
And we'll post this. We'll post this on our social platform. We'll post the event.
Right, right.
We're going to post a link to the book so that people who aren't here can still learn more about it and just get to enjoy this kind of content and this view of Messi. And so, yeah, I mean, Kayvon, you're such an interesting individual. You've gotten so much experience. You have so many great stories. This is only the first of many. We're hoping to have you back on so you can tell us even more about, you know, what you've seen over the last 25 years and maybe what you see happening in the future for soccer. But okay. So thank you so much for coming and joining us.
One last thing. Or she will be giving away these
shirts. That may get people to fly here just so because they want that shirt, honestly.
I can work the angles here.
Yeah.
On the Leonardo da Vinci mirror view.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll be giving away some of these to the winners of the trivia quiz. Imagine a Jeopardy with sports trivia.
Well, we're going to be really excited. And
you guys will have your team. So we look forward to seeing you there.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, Kayvon, for coming. Like I said, we're going to post all this. If anyone has even follow-up questions, leave your comments. We'll make sure to show Kayvon. We're going to keep the conversation going. His new book with his collaborators, Eternal Glory, in both English and Spanish, is going to be available. And it's the story of Messi and Argentina winning the 2022 World Cup. So thank you, Kayvon, for joining us. We really appreciate it. This has been a great conversation, and we have more to talk about.
Thank you for having me. And on behalf of Eduardo, Alejandro, and the rest of the people who worked on this book, I thank you for the time.
Perfect.
We appreciate you, and you have a great day, and we'll see you on Saturday.
Thank you.
It's a really great conversation with Kayvon. Like we said, we're going to link the link to the book. If you're not in Miami, if you are, try to come to the event on Tuesday. A really great storyteller, a historian of the game, and someone who has, you know, been following Messi for over 15 years in all corners of the world, all World Cups, all events, knows, you know, what's made him great and what got them there. So really cool story. But now we are going to move into our preview of New York Red Bulls versus Inter Miami Saturday, May 4th, in Inter Miami at Chase Stadium, Fort Lauderdale. We will both be there. This is going to be a really good one, Gian, because, you know, Inter Miami has been in fantastic form recently, but a time when they weren't in such good form was when they played New York Red Bulls just over a month ago, where they got thrashed 4-0 during a rainy, cold day in New York, or New Jersey, technically. But we're hoping that's different today.
Yeah, hopefully it will be different. And I think it definitely will with this team that Inter Miami is, you know, right now they're in perfect form. They've won 3 straight games. They went all of April without losing a single game. It was 3 victories, 1 tie. They're in the best form they've ever been. They've got Messi healthy. They've got Suarez healthy. They're relatively semi-healthy. We'll talk about it, right? You know, the latest news coming out of practice, but I think that they definitely have enough to compete against this team. I feel like anytime you have Messi available, you feel like you can win any game. And I think also, especially with the defense, I think the defense has improved as of late. That 4-0 thrashing that we took by the Red Bulls was, I think, predicated on our defense not being top notch.
The AKA defense, as we know it.
The AKA defense that we've mentioned in the past. And then the formation also, we have to realize that 4-0 was against that 3-5-2 formation that has been the formation where we have allowed the most goals in league play so far. I believe we've only used that formation twice in league play, and we allowed 7 goals. So 4 by New York, and I forgot who the other 3 was. Was it Montreal, maybe?
Montreal.
It might have been Montreal. So I think that those things have changed. You know, now that we have Chelo Weingant available, I think that back 4 is something that has kind of become consistent as a...
Si conoce a alguien que vive de forma ilegal en Estados Unidos, pronto lo volverá a ver, porque volverá a casa. Me llamo Christy Nom, soy la Secretaria de Seguridad Nacional de Estados Unidos. Puede evitar problemas descargándose la app CBP Home y deportándose de forma segura. Recibirá ayuda económica, un vuelo gratis y la posibilidad de volver de forma legal. Si no lo hace, lo encontraremos, multaremos y echaremos a la fuerza. Bajo el fuerte liderazgo del presidente Trump, nuestras leyes se cumplen y nuestra frontera es segura.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Late
consistent, finals, right? Yeah. And so with
Negri too. A different game, and Inter Miami wants to, you know, elongate this stretch of wins that they have, and they basically, now that they don't have to worry about anything else, they don't have to worry about Champions Cup, they don't have to worry about Leagues Cup yet. They have a 5, 6, maybe 7 games before Messi goes to Copa America. They want to take advantage of this moment. It's a really important moment for them. And yeah, I think it'll be definitely a much different game than it was the previous one.
Yeah, 100%. And to your point, who our roster is and our team updates is different than it was then. We got a few players back, namely Lionel Messi, who will be playing on Saturday, as far as we're concerned, who was not playing in the last game. And I think that's basically all you need to know, is that Messi didn't play in that one. Messi is playing in this one. You know, still have the injuries where we got from today. You know, when there was a team training, we saw the injuries that are still obviously existing for Gomez, Redondo, and Alba, who are not quite ready to come back yet. But you know, what we've noticed is that we've had enough without them the last few weeks. Our early goals we've touched on that we want to improve upon, obviously, but in terms of the game itself, you know, we're still seeing great play out of everyone else.
Yeah, I agree. I think that going back to the previous point, that we do have enough. You know, you've got Suarez and Messi both ready to play, both healthy. It's funny, an image came out of today's practice.
Yeah, I knew. Messi, that's what I was going to bring up.
Like,
yeah,
grasping at or doing something at the back of his left leg, like thigh area. And there's already comments like, yo, let the man scratch his butt if he needs to. Like, not everything needs to be, you know, a 911 emergency. Like, he, you know,
and I think he was just like massaging his muscle, like before he started training, like he played the rest of training and was running in the scrimmages. So I
like,
think
relax. I think it's like, you know, the PTSD that we have from seeing him, you know, reach at an area on his leg, and then the next day or the next match, rather, he's not available. So I think he'll be fine. He practiced perfectly. So you've got those two available in the attack. Robert Taylor's back and he's ready to play.
Had an assist on Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. You still have Busquets there. You've got Ruiz available as well. You've got
Kremaski, getting into better form.
Who's been a staple there in the midfield. And then your whole defense, other than Alba, is healthy. But then you've got Negri that has done a great job filling in for Alba in his absence, who was also a starter for this team before he got injured and before Alba came and joined Inter Miami. So I think that, you know, I think it's a good team health-wise. And hopefully we'll have guys like Redondo coming back soon. As we mentioned in some of our other episodes, he's tweeted about it and it just seems like he's on the right track. He's looked good in pictures. He's looked, you know, like he's evolving well from his injury. Yo Gomez is somebody that just recently got injured, and we know how important he is to the team. So hopefully, you know, as soon as Redondo and Yo Gomez are available, this team is going to take an even bigger step forward in their progression and become even better, which is crazy to say.
You're
looking at them and how well they've done over the last four games or so in the month of April. You know, I don't know if we're going to – I probably should have looked at it, but I'm not sure if we're bringing it up yet. But Messi is man of the match. So it just kind of shows how well this team has been performing over the last month.
Yeah, exactly. And that was – it's 100% something to bring up, is that Messi was – the player of the month for MLS and for Inter Miami. And he's just, like we said, you know, in his 7 games of league play, 16 goal contributions, just playing at an astonishingly high level, even for him, not because he hasn't played at this high level before, but because, you know, to what we've said earlier, you know, obviously it was a slow start to the year. He was still working through his hamstring. He has Copa America coming up. It's still, you know, the beginning of the season, technically only, you know, the first half of it. He's playing just at an incredibly high level, and it is benefiting this team tremendously.
He had 6 goals and 4 assists in April's matches, matches in April. That is 10 goal contributions. That's insane. There's other players that if they had that as their season, they'd be considered to have had a good season. Six goals and 4 assists.
It's true. And like we said earlier, obviously, hopefully we'll have Rizondo though be coming back around the same time Messi leaves, if not a little sooner. But, you know, when Messi does go to Copa America, and we don't know how long it's going to be, if he makes it to the final, I think it's 6 games he misses. If it's shorter, maybe he only misses 3 or 4. We'll see. You know, it'll only time will tell.
That's a good point that you bring that up, though, Ashley, because Matias Rojas, we have him. And he had a few minutes where he played last game. I think he got maybe 15, 20 minutes where it was a little glimpse of what he brings. He was actually involved in one of the goals where he showed that his effort in trying to that ball from going out of bounds and puts in that beautiful pass to Messi. Messi almost scores a beautiful goal, and Kremaski ends up getting the rebound into the back of the net. So now that Messi's not going to be around for a few games for Copa America, like you said, about 6 or so, you've got Matias Rojas that is usually plays on the right side anyways. And he's a creator. He's a guy that has really good playmaking abilities. Mm-hmm. He's really good on attack. So that's definitely help in the absence of Messi.
100%. Yeah. And if we get Rodondo back, same thing. Like, we may see a couple of situations where you maybe see you have Robert on the left, you have Matias on the right, or you have them switch. You have Gressel maybe playing up, and then Kramaski starts. Like, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of ways where we can still hopefully, and that's a future us problem, honestly, because right now we have Messi for the next few weeks. And so we're going to take advantage of it. But, you know, to your point, everyone else is really doing their part in the game, and they're, helping to improve this team every single week. The team performances have been great. And this will be a really good test Saturday. Like I said, Saturday, it's going to be a really good test against a very good New York Red Bulls team who, like I said, you know, and they also didn't have their best player or one of their best players in Emil Forsberg, right? He was with, he was at Sweden. And so that's their number 10, and that's their playmaker superstar who played, you know, who just as of last year was playing at RB Leipzig, plays for Sweden, their captain, Champions League captain, very, very good player who, you know, they will have. And so it's not going to just be a cakewalk for us. You know, it's going to be a difficult game, but I think it'll be a really good way for us to see, you know, how this team really can play against their demons. Like, can they get past that moment? Can they play good, cohesive soccer, you know, for obviously we said the first 5 minutes haven't been great for us recently, but can they put together 90 minutes of strong, consistent ball? Can we see other players continue to shine and to grow along with Messi?
Yeah, exactly. You know, if we look at how we're kind of doing right now in the league, obviously Inter Miami is currently first in the Supporters Shield, first in the Eastern Conference standings. They have 21 points. They've got one game over everybody else. They've played 11. The other teams have typically played 10. You've got one team in Philadelphia that's played 9. But then as far as New York is concerned, you know, New York has, they've got 17 points and they've got one game less. So this would be one of the chances for us to kind of gain even, put even more of a cushion between us and teams that are right on our tail, with New York being right there. You know, New York got off to a really hot start. They were doing very well. But if we kind of look at their last few games, they've kind of fizzled out a bit. You know, their last 3 games, they actually haven't won a single game. They've tied all of them. They tied at home against Chicago 0-0. Then they tied at LA 2-2. And then they tied 1-1 at home against Vancouver. Yeah. So they've kind of fizzled out off of that hot start. And then it's kind of the reverse for Inter Miami. Inter Miami got off to a hot start. They fizzled out for a while there, and now they're finally catching.
Yeah, we're like a little ahead in the wave.
Exactly. So now you're going to have two teams that have, I guess, are in two different areas of their progression. You know, one fizzled out, one is kind of hitting the hottest they have been all season. And I think it'll be interesting. I think Inter Miami really has a chance here to prove that they are the top team. You know, New York is still a really good team. Mm-hmm. They've got some good players offensively. But if we look at that last game that we played against them, yeah, they kind of whooped us 4-0. Funny enough, Lewis Morgan, I believe, had, was it three goals against us that game? He had a hat trick against us.
Yeah, former great Inter Miami player.
Van Zier is another guy to look out for. He's got the most assists on that team with six, and he was a big part of that game as well against us. But I think just kind of looking back at that game, you know, a few of the things that kind of stick out to me and why we suffered so much against that New York side and something that we can improve this game coming up on Saturday is number one is the effort. I felt like the effort didn't match the effort that New York came in with that game. New York came in pressuring the ball a lot more, pressuring a high line, trying to make Inter Miami make mistakes, which they did. If we remember in that second goal that Inter Miami gave to New York, it was, I believe, Aviles coming out deep from our area as New York was pressuring us, and he put in a very errant pass that was recovered right there and became a quick counterattack, and we got scored on. So that's going to be something that New York is probably going to try to do again, and Inter Miami just has to be better at. But then also the effort, there were one of the goals that Lewis Morgan scored or assisted on, rather, was a ball that was going out of bounds on the left wing where he ran, slid.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
That ball. So those are like those.
Similarly to what Matias Rojas just did.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So there's those effort plays that really help bring energy to a team. And I didn't see too much of that. So I think that Miami has to, one is bring that, match the energy, bring the same effort as New York, get better at playing deep out of the line and progressing from defense to offense, making sure they take care of the ball. And then the biggest key to me is don't play three center backs.
And I think hopefully
that won't happen.
Hopefully. As long as we have those players healthy and available, I don't think that's going to happen. But let's not want to bite the hand that feeds us. So we will have to see. And but to your point, The main things that have changed, like I said, number one, Messi, which is enough. But outside of Messi, it's you know, the effort, the cohesion, the playing together, the formations that have just improved a lot week to week and continue to do so. And I just, you know, really quickly about Lewis Morgan, who played for us in our inaugural season and who was just an absolute rock star. He was so good for us. He really did. He put so much energy and love into it. He was one of my favorite players in the beginning, obviously, like I'm sure many others. One of the players who undoubtedly was sacrificed to get Messi as part of that plan. You know, there were a few big names that we had that over time we had to get rid of in different fashions. And Lewis Morgan was one of the first and probably the most surprising at that time, because we were like, why are we getting rid of Lewis Morgan? He's our best player. He's, you know, young, this, that, and the other. It was for a lot of allocation money. It was for, you know, what turned into part of what got us Messi. So it's all related in some form or the other. And, you know, we obviously, of course, wish him well, just not against us. but with that said, what that game sort of talked about, Gian Stradamus, are your predictions? Hear it. Cause I know you've been better than me with these predictions of late. People have not been taking my side in these arguments. You know, they've been supporting you, and it makes me sick.
Hey, but, can you blame them? Three in a row. That's
4-1. I don't know how that was a hell of a guess.
That was pretty remarkable. 4-1, and I got that one as well. That is nuts. And yeah, I mean, Gian Stradamus is what I'm
known around. You're saying it. You're going to be so wrong. I can't wait.
I'm known around town now as Gian Stradamus.
Yeah.
And it's funny. The other day, I was at the grocery store, and a lady called me out. Okay. And I was like, wow. But anyways,
can my eyes roll any bigger? Just for everyone watching, if they can roll any bigger, let me know.
But okay, so we're going for four straight here. So, you know what we do here in Gian Stradamus for Dummies is we basically just look at the last few games of the opponent and kind of look at what they've done, right? So as far as New York is concerned,
see, and I lead with my heart, which is why mine's better. But go on.
I'm data driven.
That is so a good way of explaining you versus me, without even us meeting to.
Data driven. So all right. So New York scored one against Vancouver. They scored two against LAFC, and they scored zero against Chicago. So you know what? For me, it's tough to see this Inter Miami team not get scored on at least once. They've gone scored on basically within the first 6 minutes in our last three matches. But here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out on a limb here and go, this is going to be the first shutout that Inter Miami is going to have in a while. Callender is going to be at the top of his game. No more silly mistakes. No more giving the ball up like he did against Monterrey. No more coming out for no reason at all when there's two defenders on the attacker on the outside part of the area like he did. Against in our previous game. He's going to play to the top. Our defense is going to be great. We're allowing zero goals. Zero goals this game. And Inter Miami, with a healthy Suarez, with a healthy Messi, and with Matias Rojas starting, that's another prediction. Matias Rojas is starting. We are going to win 3-0. 3-0. That is Gian Stradamus' prediction of the week. That will be a new segment we're starting next week.
Only if you get this right. If you don't get it right,
the segment's gone. If I get this right, a new segment.
Fine.
On the channel. Okay, so 3-0.
For a maximum of 2 weeks, you can get the segment.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Deal. Well, so 3-0. That's a good prediction. That is a bold prediction. Different than what you've been doing normally. I feel like it's so we'll see really if you are just that freaking ahead of things that you're right. I will say this. I'll start with giving some predictions in terms of the lineup. Like we said last week, in all seriousness, you were right that they really didn't make as many rotations as I was expecting. The only one was that Suarez didn't start. The rest, I think, was almost as close to the A team that we currently have. And so I was, I was a little surprised that we saw, as many starters as we did, but it worked out great. And, Suarez was able to even come in and play 30 minutes, which I even was worried about when he starts in the 60th minute. I'm like, God, this feels early. But yeah, he scored a great goal, had a great game. I think we will similarly see a very strong lineup Saturday. I think Suarez will start instead of Campana. I think, I'm not really sure, and so I'm not 100% sure if it's going to be Robert Taylor or if it's going to be Matias Rojas. I think it's going to have to just be one of those things that we'll wait and see. I think it'll probably be Robert Taylor, but if it's not, I wouldn't be surprised. I really would like to see Kramaski start. Unless what is happening is that Tata is making him a super sub, which is maybe what he is doing, knowing that he would rather start with Gressel and have it be that sort of even keeled, knowing what you're getting, and then bringing in Kramaski in the second half to make magic, which could be the plan. And then maybe the plan is to wait as long as Kramaski is playing 90 minutes, waiting until Messi leaves. That could be part of the strategy. So we'll have to wait and see. But outside of that, I think it's going to be much of the same, and hopefully in that end, much of the same results. I will say that I don't, unfortunately, share your belief that we will not get any goals scored on us. I hope you're right. This is certainly an instance that I super hope you're right. That is a shutout, because I think our defense has worked really hard and deserves it. But deserves and earns and has are all different words. So I will say that Inter Miami will win
4-2.
I think we're going to keep
scoring. That's a lot of goals.
I think we're at 6 goals. Yeah, I think we're going to continue to score at a high level. I think there's no stopping this offense right now. There's no stopping Messi. And then when Suarez is starting, there's no stopping him. Robert Taylor played a great game on Saturday. And Rojas, similarly, came in and gave incredible minutes. So whoever's starting on the left wing, I feel like they can score. Kramaski has been a huge threat with his creativity already, and his passing, those touches he had in the game. He got the goal, just playing really great. I trust him to create goal scoring opportunities. I think we're going to score. I think we're going to rack it up, hopefully 3 or 4. But I do think they are going to score, and I think they are going to get 1 or 2. And so my prediction is going to be 4-2.
I know. So, man, I should have played it safe just to protect my record, but I have to do it. I have to go through.
I hope you're right. I really do, because like I said, the first few minutes of these games made us all pull our hair out, but then you see 80 minutes of great defense, 80 plus minutes of consistency, discipline, great defense, great play, great structure that, you know, it just 10 more minutes and then you start to see those shutouts. And so
they have to concentrate at the beginning of games. They can't go in there.
Yeah.
Like we say in Spanish, sobrados. Sobrados means that they think they are, you know, the last Coke in the desert. Like they are the best thing. And, you know, we're going to beat this team. And they lack sometimes concentration in those first few minutes. And it's like they need that first goal to be like, lock it in. So if they can protect that, those first 10 minutes, I think it just sets the tone for the game. And I'd like to see this Inter Miami team, as we mentioned in our previous episode, they're a team that as the game goes along, they get better and better. I want to see that from the beginning. I want from the beginning them to be as locked in as they are in the second half and as they go through the game. So I think that it'll be contingent on that. If they come in all lackadaisical like they have been in those last three games, then the 3-0 is not possible. It's more of a 4-2 or 3-2, like 3 or 4-2, like you said. I think that it's interesting what you said too, like as far as like Grimaski and Gressel, what is he going to do? Because I think that Grimaski with fresh legs in that second half changes
games. Been huge game changer, right? And that may be the plan because he's coming off of a hernia injury. He's still very young. He had to play a lot of minutes last year and had to go through a whirlwind, really. And so if
Grimaski comes in the second half and you've got, let's say, I guess you're thinking that the midfield is probably going to be Busquets, Gressel, and Ruiz?
Yeah.
Is that who you're thinking?
Yeah, and I think it's going to be where it's the same thing of the Gressel coming in. And I would say this, when Messi leaves, I think it's going to be just something maybe as simple as either who like the Rojas or the Robert Taylor who didn't start goes into that right role, or it's Gressel moves up to the right wing and Kramaski starts and they both start. And so that I think you may see that in some games. I think it'll depend. I think they're still working him up. So like I said, like maybe the plan is to just have him always come in the 55th, 60th minute, and that's going to be the game plan for the season. Or maybe it's still working to ramp him up so that, you know, when Messi is gone, they can depend on him to play 90 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think the offense for us is ever a question, as you said. Like we know we're going to score. The bigger issue is always going to be what type of defense will we see from Inter Miami. And also the midfield has to protect that defense. We've seen a lot of times where that midfield sometimes is just Swiss cheese and they don't block the lanes. And a lot of times one of the things that happens is the attackers from the opposing team end up on a lot of one-on-ones against our center backs. And that's something that we need to avoid because we've seen speed can kill our center backs.
Yeah. But they've been, to put your point, Aviles and Ferreira have been really – been super good, consistent, developing that partnership, and hopefully that keeps staying as it is. But it'll be a really good game.
Yeah,
whether it's 3-0, 4-2, 1-1, whatever it is, I think it's going to be an entertaining, fulfilling game. And like we said, we'll be there providing content, providing live updates. Super exciting. I think that this has been a super fulfilling episode of Messi and Co. Because not only did we get to do our preview of New York Red Bulls versus Inter Miami, but we got to speak to our good friend Kayvon, who, like we said, has a really great book coming out about Messi and Argentina winning the World Cup. Has gotten, you know, we have recency bias with Messi, but this is someone who's been following him for over 15 years, has seen him from the very beginning, has seen him from all corners of the world playing in World Cups and in Champions Leagues and everything, you know, and gives really great insight. So it was a super great episode. And we want to thank you, as always, for watching, for listening, for subscribing. Make sure you're following us on Twitter/X at Messi and Co. Make sure you're following us on TikTok, Messi and Co. 5RSN. Make sure you are following us on YouTube and having the notifications turned on for 5 Reasons Sports YouTube channel, where we post all of our episodes as long as audio only. So this was a really great episode. It's been a great week of episodes, I think. We've had a really good show. It's been a very great time to be a Messi fan and to be an Inter Miami fan.
Yeah, great episode, and excited for Saturday's game. And hopefully we'll see you guys on Tuesday at Books and Books in Coral Gables for the book revealing. A lot of fun stuff going on there. And we'll catch you guys on Saturday. Just make sure to follow us. And a pleasure as always, fam.
A pleasure as always. All right. Thank you so much for watching Messi & Co. I'm Ashley. That is Gian. We will see you next time.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.